Tonight I want to talk to you about a subject that is dear to all of us. And let's start by saying there have been men like Thomas Edison, Benjamin Franklin, and Einstein that have been very successful, and they have attributed their success to perseverance. Each of them displayed tremendous amount of perseverance. In fact, it's even been said by them, the only time you must not fail is the last time you try. Because perseverance is the key to success. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you so much for this time of fellowship that we have, Father, and we thank you so much for the food we had this evening. And Father, we ask that you would be with us now this evening. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this evening, Father. And we pray that you would just be with us now as we learn from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this might come as a shock to some of us, but you know, I don't see too many Einsteins or Edisons out here in this group. But that includes me, so come on. Oh, here we go. It's going to be interesting this evening. I can see that. You know, but this does not mean that perseverance is any less important to us as Christians. But we have all been called to a position that is much more important than the men we have just mentioned. God has a plan for each one of us, and we are to go out, and through the Holy Spirit, we are to make disciples of every nation. We are also called to be the salt of the earth and the light to the world. When we see how important our position is in the body of Christ, we realize that we have more responsibility to persevere to the end, humbly, and giving God the glory and credit for what we do through Him. But maybe one of our big problems is not so much the persevering, but the problem is getting started. A few more things I got to say about perseverance is perseverance is more than just endurance. It is endurance combined with absolute assurance and certainty that what we are looking for is going to happen. Perseverance means more than just hanging on, which may only be exposing us to fear and the fear of letting go and falling. Perseverance is also our supreme effort of refusing to believe that our hero is going to be conquered. One of our greatest fears, though, is not that we will be assigned to hell. But somehow, our greatest fear, believe it or not, deep down, a lot of Christians, is the fear that somehow Jesus will be defeated. And also, our fear is that the very things our Lord stood for, love, justice, forgiveness, and kindness among men, will not win out in the end and will represent an unattainable goal for us. And if we look at what's happening in the world today, I can see why a lot of people think that. It just seems to be getting worse instead of better. Then there is a call to spiritual perseverance. A call not to hang on and do nothing, but to work deliberately, knowing with certainty that God will never be defeated. If our hope seems to be, experiencing some disappointment right now, it simply means that we are being purified. Every hope or dream of the human mind will be fulfilled if it is noble and of God. But one of the greatest stresses in life is the stress on waiting for God. He brings fulfillment. As Revelation 3:10 says, because you have kept my command to persevere. There is a lack of perseverance within the body of Christ. Many Christians have quit, or lose heart, so to say, running the race because of, they've just quit because of petty things. Where Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 1, second part of the verse, he said that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And a lot of people, they look at that men should not lose heart. But look at the other key word in there. Pray. That's the most important part, is pray and don't lose heart. And Paul said in Galatians 6, in verse 9, Paul said, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Again, it's not an instantaneous thing. In due season, we have to wait on God. And a lot of times, like I said, that's what gets people frustrated. They have to wait. But we have to persevere. And again, in Matthew 24, Jesus talks about enduring to the end in verse 13. So, are you persevering in your walk with Christ? Have you proposed in your own heart to run the race and persevere till the end? Now, perseverance is not always keeping our composure. We sometimes get riled up during a trial. One of the reasons that some Christians get easily offended is because there is no love in their hearts. And we've seen that happen in many cases. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, and beginning in verse 8, where Peter is saying, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we have to have that love, because love will surely cover over a multitude. So we need more love in our hearts. Then we would not be so easily offended by someone who says or does something that does not exactly agree with or is kind of contrary to what we believe or how we would have done it. If we have that agape kind of love in our hearts, then we will be able to tolerate and a lot more and not be so easily offended. Now, the Bible teaches of many different times and in many different ways the need for perseverance. In fact, the dominant theme in my favorite book there, Jerry, everybody, the book of Job, is we see how God rewarded Job for his perseverance. The dominant theme of that book is perseverance. And all that Job went through, all his tribulations, Job did not sin against God. He did not always maintain his composure, but he did persevere. There were times that he was really ruffled, though his trial, but he never sinned against God. Neither did he quit. In fact, in the last chapter of Job, chapter 42 of Job, that's before Psalm there, there's a number of things we can see all in that one chapter. And that is, we see that God restored Job's reputation, God restored his friends and his family, and God restored his possessions. We can also see how God's anger was aroused toward Job's friends because they did not say what was right about God. In fact, we see in verse 7, it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz, "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job was." See? Job did what was right. They didn't. And then, again, he tells them to three of them get together, get them sacrificed, and let Job sacrifice for them. Because in the end of verse 8, "Because you have not spoken what was right, my servant Job has." The end of verse 9, "The Lord commended them, for the Lord had accepted Job." The Lord commanded them to do that because the Lord had accepted Job. And then in verse 10, "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And then it goes on about the rest of his blessings and different numbers of things he had and with kids and everything else. And in contrast, what we see is after they had spoken what not was right about God, in contrast, Job humbled himself and God lifted him up. In fact, in James 4, verse 10, it says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." In fact, those words are in one of the worship songs we sing, too. And the main lesson we have to learn from that is the way up is down. If you want to be lifted up by God, humble yourself. And that's an easy way to remember it. The way up is down. We need to take heed to these truths and realize that it is through humility that God is able to pour his blessings upon us. In James chapter 4 and in verse 6 and also in 1 Peter 5 verse 5, it states, "God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." Now, they both said the same thing there, and Actually, they took that from Psalms. In Psalm 334, the only difference in my translation here, instead of saying God resists the proud, it says God scorns the scornful, which is basically the same thing. So are you an example of humility? Because this shows us one thing, that promotion in the kingdom is not by random chance. Promotion comes by God honoring humility. Remember what we just said in James 4:10? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. God honored Job's humility. The result was all of his losses were restored, and then some. In fact, his possessions were doubled, and he was pretty rich to start with. But what's interesting is God did say three things about Job. Number one, he said, "My servant Job has spoken rightly about me." Second thing he said was that Job would be used by God to restore his friends. And that's what happened after that sacrifice was made by him, after the three of them came. And the third thing he said, he would accept Job, which means he would lift him up. So we have to ask ourselves, do you have a tendency to get weary in doing the will of God and feel like giving up when it gets tough? I'm sure we've all felt that way at times, that we couldn't take it any longer. But He promised us He wouldn't leave us. Do you get offended over petty things or pick at little things that cause discord? Well, there's one way to get yourself out of that position, and that is, let's go to Proverbs. In Proverbs 6, there's a few things God has to say there through Proverbs, beginning in verse 16. He says, "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." These are abominations to the Lord. So keep that in mind. And another thing, have you learned, and keep in mind, that the way up is down. Three other things. Are you persevering in your walk with Christ? And number two, are you persevering in your service to God? And number three, which I consider the most important one, are you persevering in your prayer life? Prayer, job number one, in anything. Remember, prayer is not a last resort, prayer is the first resort. So we have three lessons to learn, which are very good. Number one is, one day all these trials are going to come to an end. Or as Colonel Ronnie said, we read the book, we know how it ends. God, number two, is God will reward you. That's a tongue twister for me. God will reward you for your faithful stand with him. And number three is, there is something to be learned from passing the tests that God allows to come your way. Don't forget, payday is right around the corner. It's getting closer all the time. God will bless you for your perseverance and for hanging in there, even when it really gets tough. And God will reward us for our suffering when we learn to suffer in humility. God is keeping a good record of this. He's got a record of all our suffering and how we have handled our trials. And may God find us being faithful to him and not find us speaking falsely of him. May we also learn the importance of humility, and that God is well pleased when we choose to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. Now let's look at one more verse here. Back page to Proverbs chapter 3. I shouldn't have to turn there. Verses 5 and 6 are memory verses. I'm sure we all know them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, and we just pray now, Father, that we can take this lesson to heart. We can learn to persevere, Father, and we can learn to just wait on your season, on your timetable, Father. And we just again ask for your guidance in this, Father. And we ask that you be with us now, again, in Jesus' name. Amen.